I'm Robert Sickles, and I'm here with Kenda Kiefel, and this is the Cold Open Mini number 39, the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, part 7, epilogue, dash, a father twice over. So Kenda, start us off. Give us your initial response to this epilogue.
Okay, so I liked the little tiny pieces it were set up with as this father twice over epilogue begins. I love the cyborg father monologue, and just seeing Barry with his paw be proud, all of that stuff, all good, all me thinking that that was it. I have to tell you that Jesse Eisenberg is so exceedingly annoying as Lex Luthor in every other character he ever plays. He's such a snotty little brat. So that reveal is kind of exciting within the insane asylum, but man, I really wrestle with his piece of it, and again the descent into madness, the premonition, the darkest timeline. I kind of feel like Jared Leto is also just messing with us all at this point, and I sense an actual disdain from Ben Affleck towards Jared Leto, not just as characters but in life. That was the chemistry I was getting, like real hate. So let me hear your thoughts on this very long epilogue.
This is the only section for which I had real contempt.
Okay.
Where I disliked it, not entirely from start to finish, but from about a third of the way in. So we had talked earlier about the chapter breaks and the 7 various sections. And the only issue I have with those chapter breaks is this chapter break, I feel like, is in the wrong place. I feel like when we hear Silas's recording, that should have been the end of the previous scene. That's, even though it was, as you said, the longest by 1 minute already, I feel like that ties the movie up into a bow, that we need Silas's recording and we cut to the various characters and it's all wrapped up. That does not seem like the same sequence as the rest of the epilogue. No. It seemed really incongruent. So I don't know why they did that. Like, maybe to keep the segment somewhat equal in time, because that really would have stretched out the other one, but it just made more sense narratively in there. And then once that recording ends, then I got angry. I don't know what else to say. So I think Jesse Eisenberg is a terrible Lex Luthor. I always have, even more miscast than Amy Adams. And then I don't care for Jared Leto's Joker, which is not a comparison with either Joaquin Phoenix or Heath Ledger or freaking Cesar Romero for that matter. It is just, in and of itself, I do not like it. And It feels so actorly and like he's making choices. I just don't like his impression of that character. And I am not a Jared Leto hater. I just don't like him in that role at all. And then the silly ending with Martian Manhunter again, who has no point or reason to be in this movie. So the part that really stands out to me, or what I think about this in toto, is it a play for future films? So what we know about DC and their approach to this is they've already said there's like varying timelines, right? So if they make a sequel of Todd Phillips' Joker, like that Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, is the one that will be there. And this really opens up the ideas of the multiverse, right? Where you can have all these characters in different timelines doing different things. And Marvel is certainly going to that as well, or at least alluded to the possibility, given the title of Doctor Strange is, I think, the madness of the multiverse or something like that, right? That's coming, playing off of Wanda and Vision, or playing off of WandaVision. So it just seemed like, I don't know what they're doing. Are they trying, is this setting up this future world where there's all these different sequels? Is Zack Snyder going to be a part of this world? They gave him 70 million plus to do this. So what was the end goal of DC? Like, what are they trying to do? What do they want to come of this? And I just don't know, because it's so many different possibilities and timelines, et cetera. It just seemed a mess narratively, and B, like an attempt at a possible cash grab if the response was such that it warranted future sequels.
Right. No, exactly. It seemed so sloppy in that way, right? It would seem smart, except it really does feel, the question that kept repeating in my mind is, who is this for? It felt sort of oddly self-serving or inside baseball, so much so that I couldn't see a layperson caring about it if it's box office and future customers that were sort of interested in, if that makes any sense. I just feel like it didn't really seem like it was for the layperson to enjoy the movie through, right? And if it is setting it up for future timelines, that's fine, but it did not need to be that long and it did not need to be that intricate. And I know what you mean about Jared Leto also, because he is a great actor sometimes, but man, it is so try hard. It's hard to watch because I'm actually embarrassed for him. But I do think it's interesting in the idea that it could be setting up what a future conflict, or at least a darker timeline in which Superman and those folks are against each other, because I guess we are to presume the death of Lois Lane might be involved, or it seems like Lois is shouted out in that one. And was that your take as well, that she was involved, and that was, of course, Batman's premonition earlier from the prior chapter?
She is the key.
She is the key.
More than once throughout this. I just don't know. And I think going back to that first part with Silas's recording, I actually think it's a great ending if it just ends after that recording. We don't
cut. That would have been great. Yeah, come on. That would have been really good.
It just seems like it makes more sense. And we had talked earlier about that battle scene in part six, and it didn't have the emotional payoff. Maybe had Snyder been able to make this into three films as he originally intended, which might also have resulted in the epilogue feeling like everything is crammed into it, maybe the payoff would have been different. But I suppose we'll never know. So let me ask you this kind of a cumulative question. Is this better or worse than the earlier iteration of the Justice League? And what do you ultimately make of it?
Excellent question. I honestly can't tell you. I've been going back and forth whether it's better or worse. It's very strange weighing out the pros and cons. I actually feel like they're relatively equal in my mind in a strange way. The way there are certain characterizations in the prior one, I think, are stronger in some ways, but at the same time, messy as hell in other ways. And I do understand why there would have been a petition in several aspects to get the Snyder Cut going. However, I feel like the Snyder Cut is still really uneven, let's say, and hard to take, and a little bit flat as it rings in my heart and mind. But they kind of have been teeter-tottering in my mind. And so I do not know which one is better now. How about yourself? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple things to think of. I like to think of the circumstances in which this was made and the idea that it couldn't have ever been done prior, at least it wouldn't have ever been done prior to our present moment. And what I mean by that is the fact that Warner Brothers owns HBO allows them an avenue to recut this and distribute it via streaming, which can hopefully build their subscriber base. And this is in an era where Disney is just killing it with their Marvel shows and The Mandalorian. So this idea that you can unify the TV world or the streaming world and the movie networks or the movie studios is really important. And I think that they saw this as a piece. They never would have given Snyder $70 million to redo this and then re-release it theatrically. They just never would have done that. So in the context of what his charge was, which was to create attention that would attract eyes to the streaming platform that Warner Brothers wants to build, I think it was really ingenious, just as I think it was pretty smart to release Wonder Woman on that platform as well. And King Kong and Godzilla for that matter, right? It's that you're bringing eyes to that platform that you otherwise wouldn't do. And I also have to say, in kind of an auteurist way, I think this film's not just a little better than the original Justice League, but way better in almost every way. There is a guiding hand that you can see. It feels like there's a vision. It feels like there's a plan. It feels like there is a force guiding what happens. And that is fun to see. The flip side of that is I don't really like Zack Snyder's aesthetic very much. I just never have cared for it. He's an incredibly technically proficient filmmaker. He definitely has some thrilling action sequences. I just am rarely, if ever, emotionally involved in the characters. And unfortunately, that didn't change for me. That said, I'm certainly glad I saw it. I certainly enjoyed the experience and I liked it significantly better than the other Justice League, although I still put it many rungs below Aquaman and the first Wonder Woman movie, where they actually seem as though they're having fun.
Yes, the fun. You hope that for Zack Snyder, right? But no, I really appreciate that take and those thoughts. And that is a brilliant point you make, in that the streaming service aspect, the sort of way of viewing it, I did keep thinking, would this have worked if we had to go to the theater with an intermission or something? Because I got to tell you, I sat through so many 4-hour plays in college that were so unbearable, and that was live theater. And I don't think it would have been the same. And I love your point on that, because it is a strange sort of retooling and reimagining of movies now, and what we can access and where we access them from, that I think is such a fascinating, strange shift, right? Because of COVID and everything else. And that is an interesting thing to think that filmmakers might have a different license or set of licenses to create different timing, different sort of structural stories. Sorry, I'm saying that incorrectly. Different ways of storytelling because of this sort of freedom, I suppose, that it allowed Zack Snyder to make that 4-hour block. So no, thank you, Robert. Those are great points. And I do appreciate this opportunity to have rewatched this Snyder cut, because I do feel like I was a little kinder. I appreciated it a little more a second time through in pieces. So I recommend watching it part by part.
I do too. It was more like a TV show than a movie, though. That's it, right. Looked good. So the finances are different with movies than their music, but I think of Kanye releasing that album a few years ago where he literally kept revising the songs and reposting them digitally, which you can't do if you're making CDs, right? Or physical records. Like, and I don't know that that's financially feasible with movies, but this is kind of an interesting moment. We'll see what happens. I am teaching to end my Silver Age of Cinema classes Heaven's Gate, and the parallels aren't lost on me. The Justice League was definitely not a bomb, notorious or otherwise. It just was disappointing. It just wasn't as successful as they had hoped it would be. But that 2.5-hour theatrical cut led to this great demand for the Snyder cut, the 4-hour version. And you know, the original version of Heaven's Gate was about 3 hours and 40 minutes long. And it eventually got cut down to about 2 hours and 30 minutes before Michael Cimino was able to go back and kind of recut it. And it has since enjoyed something of a critical renaissance, although I would argue 3 hours and 40 minutes is way too long for that particular movie. But the options that Cimino had were none, like none. So that you have a chance for a reworking or a retake or even a reboot contemporarily in ways that you never would have had prior to our present industrial moment and the advent of digital technology and streaming networks. So this is like the first really huge big budget case study. in that. And it will be interesting to see where we go from this moment in time.
Beautiful. You're so right. You're right. Even calling it, I mean, everyone's calling it the Snyder Cut, not just right. So in that sense too, I feel like it speaks to that, right? Where it's like allowed to re-edit, allowed to reimagine, and allowed to get, that's really a great comparison with Kanye too.
Well, this has been a 7-part event, right? A 7-part event, as we looked at all 7 parts of Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League. So we hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back with something new in the not too distant future. So I'm Robert Sickles for Kenda Kiefel, and this has been the Cold Open Mini number 39.